The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you could check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking how to naturally increase neurotransmitter levels. Now, if you don't know it, more specifically, the neurotransmitters we're talking about today are dopamine and serotonin. Serotonin and dopamine are neurotransmitters, which are like chemical messages that are like your happy, healthy mood regulators. So dopamine, for example, is involved in motivation, memory, attention, even regulation of body movements. So it's what creates a feeling of pleasure or reward. It's also one, if it's low, it's linked to reduced motivation, decreased enthusiasm. So this is one where you're like, hey, I want to be happier. This is it. Oh, no. Well, it's not like this is how you increase your happiness. But there's so many, like when you look at someone and you're like, why is it that that person just naturally feels happier or they look like they're more motivated? And so many times the underlying has to deal with those neurotransmitters, serotonin and dopamine. So there are some natural things you can do to increase that. And that's truly where I feel like with Greenwood Family Chiropractic, one of the things inevitably that we look at is health as a whole. We don't look at the body as each individual part. We look at the body as what, and so like so much of this is it's not just one organ system, it's organ systems together as a whole. That when you look at the way that we were created, we weren't created to be sad or hurting or depressed or all of the things. And I can know and understand that. I don't know everyone's situation who's listening, and we all go through different seasons in our life. And I always think about, what if it's a hard season that you could increase some of these things more naturally that overall just made you feel better, right? Without medication. And again, this is an aspect, I'm not your prescribing physician. I never in my office put anyone on medication. I don't take anyone off medication. If there are underlying problems, there are some people who want to try more natural remedies before they directly move into a medication, right? So there are some caveats with all of this, and we'll talk about that. But before we dive down deep into that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Maybe today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's health in the news, exercise changes the brain in a way that helps heart health, especially for people with depression. So it's common knowledge that exercise is good for your mental health and your heart health. And now a new study suggests that all three are working together. This kind of goes in when I'm like, hi, It all works together. Your health is not one thing. So in addition to physical benefits of exercise, it's also associated with a reduction in stress signals in the brain, which leads to a decreased risk of cardiovascular disease, according to a study. So researchers analyzed data more than 50,000 adults around age 60 from the MassGen Brigham Biobank, according to the study published in the Journal of American College of Cardiology. The study looked at a survey that participants were given about their physical activity, imaging of their brain to track activity related to stress, and digital records of cardiovascular events. So individuals who experienced more had a graded reduction in stress related to signals in the brain. This is coming from the lead author. We found nice associations that exercise appeared to, in part, reduce heart disease risk by decreasing stress-related signals. So everyone should pay attention when it comes to studies coming out that show these kinds of improvement resulting in change in lifestyle. Change in lifestyle. Keywords, change in lifestyle. This is not a drug. Change in lifestyle. These are incredibly cost-effective. The magnitude of improvement are amazing, often better than any medication, and we should be putting these tools in our arsenal for ready use. I thought that was so, right? Better than any medication. Twofold for people with depression. So they also talked about, they wanted to know whether people with more stress-related signals in their brain would get a greater benefit from exercise. So surprisingly, we additionally found a greater than twofold increase in benefit of exercise among individuals who are depressed versus individuals who don't have depression or who have a history of depression. So the relationship between the amount of exercise and decrease in the level of cardiovascular risk also varied depending on whether a person had a history of depression. So people who had any history of depression, the benefit of exercise on cardiovascular disease reduction plateaued after about 300 minutes of moderate physical activity a week. So what is that, 5 hours? So bad with general math. But for people with depression, the benefits continued with more time spent. So 5 hours on the average week. And it didn't plateau for people with the history of depression. So these benefits are in addition to the physiological benefits researchers already know about exercise. We know depression is an important risk factor for heart disease, and it's one of the more common stress-related conditions. Even though some people may be more susceptible to stress and its health consequences, here we see they may also stand to benefit more from exercise and its stress-modulating effect, which is encouraging. So basically, they go on to talk about how both are attractive changes in the brain. So the prefrontal cortex is in the brain responsible for executive function. So it is cognitive processing that control behavior. So the stress signals in the brain are associated with things like inflammation, higher sympathetic nervous system activity, higher blood pressure, and diseases that thicken or harden the artery. In part, exercise appeared to reduce heart disease risk by reducing these stress signals. So it turns out human beings were designed to move and to move a lot. And when we do, particularly when we are outside and among the trees, there has been data to suggest these all have significant stress relieving effects. So they recommend to get up to 30 minutes a day of breathless physical activity. And it doesn't matter what the activity is. So if you enjoy walking, biking, swimming, whatever it is, if you enjoy it, do it, because that's going to be the physical activity. Just make sure it feels difficult for you, whatever your fitness level is. So if you can talk in a full sentence while exercising, it might be time to make it harder. And I feel like that's one where we go out for walks, but if you're not actively increasing your pace or the incline or how tough or rough it is, that's not going to make those stress signals decrease. But I think it's wonderful. They're like, hi, we are meant to move. And by the way, this, in terms of exercise, can actually outperform a medication you might get. The problem is that means you actually have to do it. Like, you have to take action to do it. More stands to benefit more than just a pill, potion, or lotion. So your body's smart, your body's strong. So when you come back, we're going to talk about natural ways to increase your dopamine levels naturally next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne. I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins.
Oh, I know there's gonna be some bright day. Oh, I swear there's some fire. I swear your pain. I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins. Really excited about today's show on how to naturally increase some of your happy, healthy neurotransmitters. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we're talking about neurotransmitters. Neurotransmitters, that doesn't sound interesting when you say it, but neurotransmitters are basically like a chemical messenger, right? So let's break down more specifically dopamine and serotonin. Those are two that we're talking about today. Now, know this, right? We don't sometimes, well, people will look at this and you're like, we don't ever, this is always like my, this is my CYA. I don't prescribe medication. I don't prescribe medication. I don't put people on medication. I don't take people off medication. So if you're someone who has depression or whatever, like you have to talk to your doctor. If I'm your doctor, yes, come on in and we will guide you. I still won't take you off medication, but we can give you, there's so many times people come in and they're like, hey, I'm going through a hard season. Like I'm going through a season of hard and I just need to figure out like how I can better go through it. Inevitably, that's what we're here for, right? If I am your doctor. So if I'm not your doctor, you have to talk to your doctor or hire me as your doctor. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Now, let's talk about these neurotransmitters, right? We're going to dive down in dopamine a little bit more. So when we talk about dopamine, and I feel like we've heard about dopamine before, but if we've not actually like broken down and figured out how dopamine affects the body. So dopamine is a neurotransmitter in your brain that contributes to feelings of alertness, of focus, of motivation and happiness. So a big flood of dopamine makes you feel good. It's your feel-good neurotransmitter. It's strongly associated with pleasure and reward. So it's not, here's a really good example. They looked at the dopamine centers of mice and who ate sugar and cocaine. And they noticed that in their brain, when they fed them sugar, it lit up, if the same, if not more, the dopamine centers of the brain as like cocaine did, right? Because it's like this big thing. Dopamine is involved in neurological and physiological functioning. So whether it be motor function, mood, and decision making. So it's also associated with some movement and psychiatric disorders. So it does a lot of things. Aside from it helping you feel good, it's also involved in body function. So blood flow, executive functioning, heart and kidney function, memory and focus, pain processing, motor control, insulin regulation, sleep, stress response, all the things. So dopamine. Now, the other one that we're going to talk about today is serotonin. So let's talk about what is serotonin. Serotonin is also a neurotransmitter, which again, fancy word for saying chemical messenger. So it's known for promoting sleep quality, so by helping regulate your circadian rhythm, helps regulate appetite, helps with learning and memory. And again, we would talk about happy and healthy. It helps promote positive feeling and pro-social behavior. Now, that's where they find often a lack of serotonin is thought to play a role in depression, anxiety, mania, and other health conditions. This makes a lot of sense. Think about this. Most antidepressants, not all, but a lot of them are considered SSRIs, which are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So what that means is that we know that serotonin is a feel-good hormone. It does act as a hormone, by the way. So what happens is we say, hey, if serotonin makes us feel really good, we should increase that. So naturally, our bodies have this system where what we do is we create serotonin and then we reabsorb serotonin and then we create serotonin and we reabsorb serotonin. So from a standpoint of execution, it would make sense that if we block the bodies to reuptake serotonin, that we would just have tons of serotonin and we'd just be like these super happy individuals. But that being said, when you change and alter, and that's why it's selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So it stops, it inhibits the body's ability to reabsorb that serotonin. And so you would want to think that it made sense that thought process, and you're like, oh my gosh, if you just have tons of serotonin, you're just like the happiest person ever. But oftentimes it can change brain chemistry and increase depression and anxiety. Here's what's really interesting. Most of the serotonin found in your body is in your gut. 90% of your serotonin is found in the cell linings in your GI tract. So it is released into your blood circulation and absorbed by your platelets. Then it's actually carried from your vagus nerve and your gut all the way back up into your brain. But only about 10% is actually produced in your brain. Now, serotonin is made from the essential amino acids. So this is one where, long story short, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, your gut health is really important. Your gut health is really important. I have people who come in and say, I don't have any problems with my gut. Like, I have normal formed stool. But rarely if someone comes in and says, hey, I'm going through a season of really hard or I feel anxious or depressed, that a doctor is going to be like, we should look at your intestinal lining and see how it's doing. Do you have dysbiosis, candida, or yeast? Do you have any parasites in there? What's the commensal bacteria? Is it balanced? Right? Like, no one's going to come in and do that. They're like, oh, you should talk to a therapist. Here's an SSRI. Which, again, I need everyone to know that I believe that there's a time and a place for people. I'm not bashing that by any means. I know that that path has helped a lot of people. For those individuals who want to look at things differently, again, we don't treat depression or anxiety by any means. But this is one so oftentimes that if we're not addressing your GI-related health, or we know that you've been on tons of antibiotics and we think, oh, it's not an important aspect to heal that, I would disagree. I would wholeheartedly disagree. So that transition, so the way serotonin is produced is it is made from an essential amino acid called tryptophan. It's called an essential amino acid, meaning it can't be made by your body. It has to be obtained from foods you eat, which is why one of the first things that I'm going to tell you, which I feel like is kind of interesting, when we talk about one of the more natural ways to increase dopamine and serotonin, the first step in the easiest step is going to be increase your amino acids. Eat more protein. So protein are the building blocks of cells. Proteins break down into amino acids. So there are 20 different amino acids are needed to make all the proteins in your body. There is essential and then there is non-essential. Non-essential means that your body can create it on its own. Essential means that you have to get it from diet. So let's talk about serotonin first and foremost. Tryptophan is your precursor to serotonin. So tryptophan utilizes 5-HTP, and then it transitioned your body into serotonin. So tryptophan-rich foods. So what can you do? Increase your tryptophan-containing foods, such as, but not limited to, salmon, eggs, cheese, turkey, right? I think we know about turkey and tryptophan. We talk about, you know, tryptophan and all of this. And you think about sleep, tryptophan, melatonin. Your brain needs serotonin to make melatonin. Melatonin is what makes you sleepy. So if you're eating, are you ready for this? This is where I get to close the loop. And sometimes it happens well and sometimes it's harder. If you increase your tryptophan, your body can utilize more tryptophan to create serotonin. Serotonin is needed to make melatonin. Melatonin regulates your sleep-wake cycle. So when you have a really big meal, granted, albeit it's not full of like super heavy carbohydrates where you have a carbohydrate blood sugar spike and then crash, and that's what makes you tired. That's often one where turkey, for example, is really, really high in tryptophan. So those are ones where you're like, eat more tryptophan. Pineapples, nuts, oats, and seeds. Now, again, reminder, eating foods high in tryptophan will not necessarily boost your serotonin levels on its own. It's a more complex process where your body actually needs to absorb the amino acids. So the problem is if you're consuming more tryptophan, it's not even the GI stool effects. One of the levels that we test for when we do functional medicine testing with the metabolomics is we look at 5-HIAA. So what that looks for, it's a biomarker for looking at breakdown of, it's a product breakdown of serotonin that's excreted in the urine. So that's one of the aspects where we can see it doesn't necessarily measure for serotonin, but if that is really high, it could be that you have a lot of serotonin and you're not transitioning that serotonin into melatonin, also happened in the gut. The other thing that the metabolomics, one of the functional medicine testings, look at too, is specific amino acid breakdown and specific need. So how many milligrams per day more does this person eat? So it looks at all of the amino acids, arginine, cysteine, glutamine, glycine, histidine, leucine, lysine, methionine, taurine, tryptophan, tyrosine, phenylalanine, which we'll talk about two of those here coming up as well from a protein-related aspect. So those are ones so often where it's like, I don't need more protein. And it's like, but if you're experiencing some of these things, what I can tell you is that the average person when they come into the office, average person, not every person, the average person is so deficient in amino acids. And it could be that you're not getting enough protein, or it could be that your body's not breaking it down properly. And that's a secondary thing that we need to look at, but increasing protein. So tryptophan is one. Tryptophan is the start of serotonin. Now with dopamine, again, go to comfort, happy, healthy, mood regulator is, how can you increase that? Increase your protein. So it varies from person to person, but I would say if I didn't know anything about you, I've never seen you as a patient, I've never given you a personal recommendation, the average person should at least be getting 80 to 100 grams of protein a day, right? And you think, well, does that sound like a lot or not? And you're like, well, a standard chicken breast, 6 to 7 ounces, is about 20. That's like a full chicken breast, not like the half chicken breasts that you'll use. It's like a full chicken breast. One egg is 6 grams of protein, right? So if you're having 3 eggs for breakfast, that's 18 grams. That'll get you partially way there. The average person is not consuming enough protein. So one of the amino acids called tyrosine has a critical role in dopamine production. And you can get it from protein-rich foods, turkey, beef, eggs, dairy, legumes, but a very much smaller amount. So for example, quinoa is actually the highest from a grain standpoint, but you're still going to get exponentially more from like 1 cup of quinoa has similar to 3 ounces, which is a very, very small amount of turkey, for example. But when we look at that studies show that increasing tyrosine and in another amino acid, which is phenylalanine, can raise dopamine levels in the brain, which may promote deep thinking, improve memory. On the other hand, which is also interesting, eliminating phenylalanine and tyrosine can actually deplete dopamine levels. So this isn't one where you're like, hey, if I take less, everything's going to stay neutral. That's not true at all. So again, when you're looking at phenylalanine, for example, and sourcing, really great high sources of phenylalanine are, again, eggs, meat, dairy. So oftentimes, and this is where I see, and people get really unhappy with me when I say this, but this is oftentimes why when I see people who are vegan or vegetarian for the longer term, that they're deficient in all of this is because they're essential because you have to get them from your diet. You cannot get them from a different source. And majority of those sources to see levels that are adequate to serve the human body, if you're normally sized and normally framed, if you're not putting in animal-based protein, meat and dairy, you are likely deficient. Can you get it from plant? Yes, but it is a very, very small amount. So you have to get very, very large volumes of it, which typically day after day after day is just not sustainable. So that's one overall, if you want to naturally increase your dopamine and serotonin, increase your amount of animal-based protein. Now, there are other amazing ways to help naturally increase dopamine and serotonin levels, and we'll talk more about what those are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about dopamine and serotonin, which are two neurotransmitters that help deal with your happy, healthy mood regulation. Now, I will say, though, you know, it deals with happy, healthy mood, but there are conditions that are associated with low dopamine levels. One of the ones I would say, obviously, depression is one that we kind of know about, but the other one is Parkinson's. So symptoms, obviously, I feel like the average person knows about Parkinson's and Parkinson's disease, but I thought this was interesting too, when you talk about dopamine, because dopamine's like our feel-good hormone, like it makes us feel good. So certain drugs may interact with dopamine in that pathway in a way that becomes habit-forming. Examples, nicotine and alcohol. There's other drugs with additives and addictive qualities that activate the dopamine cycle. But these substances can cause a quicker, far more intense dopamine rush than you would get from like the chocolate chip cookies. So I told you how the brain showed that the dopamine centers were lit up when someone ate sugar, which is so hard. One of the reasons why it's hard for people to quit sugar. But that being said, nicotine and alcohol, other drugs, actually light up those centers faster. And that's where it forms a habit, right? The brain responds by toning down the dopamine. Now you need more to get the same feel of pleasure. So then overactivation of the dopamine receptors that makes you feel you lose interest in things. It makes you act more compulsively. You're less and less able to resist using these substances. So that's kind of the addiction cycle. Dopamine doesn't bear sole responsibility for creating an addiction. There's other things like genetic, environmental factors, but is one that dopamine hit, right, that your body experiences is what you crave. And then when it decreases that, you need more and more, which is why, you know, you might have had one cigarette and then two cigarettes and then five cigarettes. And now you're a pack and now you're two packs, right? Or same thing, you could replace cigarettes with drinks. So what are some other ways that we might be able to naturally increase dopamine and serotonin? Now, again, some of these you do have to talk to your prescribing physician. More so, like, I don't think that there's a way, unless you're consuming like pounds and pounds and pounds of turkey every day consistently, your body has a natural process to increase that versus sometimes supplementation. Those are ones, for example, if I have a patient who is in my office who is on an SSRI, I will not recommend 5-HTP. Because we already have a very high amount of serotonin that's happening in the body because we stopped the reuptake of that through a chemical process of medication. So what we don't want is to increase 5-HTP to then have more serotonin that your body can't reuptake. And then you have something called serotonin syndrome where there's just too much of that hormone and too much of it can cause more mania. So you need to make sure you're talking to someone who knows what they're talking about. So one of them we talked about is amino acids, increasing your protein. The other aspect that I will say that's really great is increasing your sunlight. So sunlight and a reduction in sunlight leads to reduced levels of mood boosting neurotransmitters, including dopamine and serotonin. So especially from a serotonin standpoint, try to get 10 to 15 minutes a day of sunlight. It'll also boost your vitamin D levels as well, which is great for just feeling better and bone strength. But I will say that just getting natural sunlight. So that's one, if you're in an office with a window, that doesn't count. If you're driving in the car and the windows are up and you feel the sunshine on your body, that still doesn't count. It has to be sunlight in your eyes. Don't look directly at the sun. The other one is exercise. We talked a little bit about this, you know, this new research that came out, and you're like, in reality, we've been talking for, it's not new research about exercise and how exercise can affect serotonin. I'll tell you this. Ready? So when it's like middle of the winter and I feel like I'm in a funk, and I'm like, how do I naturally want to make myself feel better? I'm like, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go exercise. And I'm going to do a hard exercise. Like, I'm going to hit it. And I'm going to, like, I want my arms to shake and walk around all contractured up like a little baby T-Rex because I'm so sore that I can barely move. Because truly that's going to be one that helps increase that serotonin and dopamine. Obviously, regular exercise is known to increase this, but even if I can get like one really strong heavy, this is where it'll get a little bit controversial. But I will go into a tanning bed. I don't put on the lotion. I don't put on any chemicals. And I only go in the UVB rays. So it's one of the higher beds. UVA rays are typically ones that'll cause you to burn. The UVB is what actually turns cholesterol into vitamin D. And so I'll increase my vitamin D. And there are like sunshine lights, kind of half and half on those. But if I can get that in and I just do like a big solid couple scoops of protein the next couple days, I will tell you it is life-giving to me. It is something that I am unapologetic. I hop in that UVB tanning bed probably 2 or 3 times over the course of the entire winter. So I don't feel bad about it. I think it taps out at like 10 minutes. So it's not like I'm getting burnt from it. But it is one that makes such a difference in the way that I feel. And I mean, now going through the show, I can acknowledge that it's probably my body's like, thank you for the extra serotonin and dopamine midwinter. And you're like, you're welcome. We'll do it again. And I work out regularly, but just that aspect. Another one is from a supplementation standpoint. Again, this is one where you do have to be careful. You can supplement with tryptophan. I just think that you can get some of those amino acids naturally through your diet. Eggs, meat, dairy, those are good, healthy, animal-based sources of protein. You can also look at B6. So B6 is a cofactor that helps enzymes work better, and it helps produce dopamine. Avocados are rich in B6, healthy fats that support the brain. Are you ready for the next one? That it's for the richest source. The highest sources of B6 include fish, beef liver, organ meats. So when you look at like tuna and salmon, you have some in chickpeas, eggs, carrots, spinach, sweet potatoes, like, and here's the thing. I look at the average person's cart. Now, I am not judging your cart, but I will often just kind of look around to say, I look at where we're at as a society, and we feel like we've just been, life has been pulled out from underneath us. We're still all recovering, economy, blood, blood, blah, blah, all the things, right? Job, hard work, and the things. And we're like, man, I'm just getting beat down. But then I look and it's like, what are you eating for breakfast? And it's like, oh yeah, no big deal. It's just cinnamon rolls or cereal or Pop-Tarts or pastry puffs or bagels and cream cheese. And you're like, but cream cheese is a milk. And you're like, that doesn't count. Or, but you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff in there because we fortify it with synthetic vitamins. And I just look and you're like, okay, so then what about for lunch? And you're like, pizza or breaded chicken sandwiches that are fried with fries and maybe put on a vegetable, maybe we don't. Or do sandwiches full of bread with questionable, like there's turkey on there and you're like, source on that, super questionable at best. And you're like, and by the way, you've just loaded it with full bunch of bad oils with whatever mayonnaise and just stuff. And I look at overall and we're just not. And then you look at this and you're like, hi, you know what can just restore your mental health, right? And again, seasons might look different for people and what you need. And I will fully, fully understand that. But it's like, what if? That's again, 5-HTP. 5-HTP is what helps tryptophan transition into serotonin. But again, that is not one that I would take if you're on an antidepressant or an SSRI. So those are ones, ensure that you talk to your doctor, your prescribing physician about that. But it's like, what if we just took care of our body? Like, what are the five essentials? When you look at max living, like, what are the five essentials? Eat right, exercise, get some oxygen and lean muscle. Pay attention to one of the things I saw on here too, is just about like, what are you grateful for? It's one that it almost seems like it's too simple. Supplements. Iron, folate is B9. That's really important too. B9, make sure it's methylated. So like L5, methylfolate. But one of the other things that I saw in here too, it was like, listen to music and meditate. And you have this like mindset component that you have the ability to. But one of the things was, I can't remember what they called it, but it was like vision cast. Like, think about something that makes you happy. And you're like, for me, I like more actionable steps. Those are ones where you're like, just change the way your brain's thinking. And so one of the things that I have implemented, again, in these last couple years, is before I get out of bed, I will look at things that I am grateful for and I will pray before my feet hit the floor. So my first alarm that goes off, I know a lot of people say, you know, when that alarm gets off, you get out of bed. And for me, when that first alarm gets off, the first thing that I do is I say a prayer and I go through all of the things for the day that I'm thankful for. And it is a lot harder to have that negativity. Not that it never happens, but it's just one that it helps set your brain on sights. Another thing too is listening to music. You know, do you ever like listen to a song and it makes you feel good? There have been tons of studies on the human brain and animals that have found listening to music can help boost dopamine levels. So, and that's oftentimes where like music therapy is more of like an alternative therapy, or for mood disorders like depression, So you can listen or you can meditate. There's been a lot of things about meditation. I feel as if I'm not the best person to talk about meditation only because it is so hard for me to slow down. And that's where I feel like my mornings, because oftentimes the kids aren't up yet because I'll get up early enough that I might not necessarily just sit in a place of silence. Well, I'm laying in a place of silence, right? And that's what allows me to help clear my mind, focus inwards, and just more meditate. But my meditation more comes in for me as a form of prayer. So that's just my aspect on how I do it. But it's like, you know, it's like you want to be mentally feel refreshed. You want to be happier. Like, clean up your sleep habits. Stop having caffeine at 4 or 5 o'clock. It has an 8-hour half-life. So if you have a 2 o'clock coffee, know that that caffeine's still going to be in your system at 10 o'clock. You know, you can help supplement 5-HTP, St. John's wort. Make sure any supplements that you take are GMP certified. You know, they talk so much in here about probiotics, right? Like your gut health. Find someone who actually is looking at your gut health. Yes, yogurt, fermented food like kimchi and sauerkraut are great. But if you have yeast, candida, there's a really great book called Brain Maker. And it literally talks about how your gut health has a direct impact on your brain, especially too with depression. Again, we don't treat. I'm not putting you on medication. I'm not taking you off medication. But like, has anyone ever looked at your stool? You want to be healthier, like find a doctor that looks at your poop. Oh, it sounds odd, but it really is true. And there's so much clinical research, like research itself and clinical, to be able to support that. But look at getting back down to the five essentials. And that's literally what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So if you're ready to take your health into your own hands and have a step that can help you move forward, give us a call. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. That is GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. So increase that protein, say some prayers, tap into the office. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.